You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on The Lutheran Hour. Its title, Help Heal the Nation You Love. Now here is Dr. Meyer.
In 2 Chronicles 7:14, God said, If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Those words from God about healing the ancient nation of Israel can also apply to the healing of modern nations. And most of us agree that our nations need healing. Several weeks ago, I was talking with some teenagers in British Columbia, Canada. The local news was filled those days with a report of gang violence. When I asked the teens about the anger of young people, they immediately brought up the huge national debt being laid on their shoulders. Then they talked about the high rate of suicide among teens. They would not have disagreed with this statement, Canada needs to be healed. In the United States, too, the vast majority is not satisfied with the health of the nation. George Gallup found that 64% of Americans are dissatisfied with the nation's ethics and morals, 73% are dissatisfied with honesty and standards, and 83% are dissatisfied with care for the poor and needy. The United States needs to be healed. And that's true for many nations in which this gospel program is being broadcast. And that is precisely the place where the healing of the nation begins in the gospel of Jesus Christ coming into the hearts of individual citizens. The awesome message that the great God rescues individual lives one by one with the forgiveness and hope of Jesus Christ is where national healing begins. Don't expect it from Ottawa or Washington or any other world capital, though we indeed do pray God's help upon the leaders of the nations. National healing begins with people like you and me who admit our own sin and unworthiness, seek God's forgiveness, believe Jesus is our Savior, and then share that truth with people around us. I'm told that a tourist was on a cruise to Brazil. As the ship approached Belém on the mouth of the Amazon, the tourists saw children rowing boats and approaching the ship. Latas, they cried, Latas! He wondered what those children wanted. And then he saw the ship's cooks throw overboard empty tin cans of various sizes, with the top still attached. That night, the tourists saw why. The children had brought the tin cans home. The father put in some oil, made a hole in the top, lowered a wick, closed the top, and lit it. From his ship, the tourist saw dozens of flickering lights. The cans had been turned into lamps. That incident illustrates how God salvages individual lives. By the good news of forgiveness and hope in Jesus Christ, God gives new life to people who are like those discarded tin cans ready for the garbage. People who have failed by the world's standards are not discarded by God. A mother in Oklahoma writes us and says that her husband is in prison. Her sons are having a terrible time coping with the shame they feel because of what their father did. But God hasn't given up on this family. Since he resurrected his own son, he can certainly rehabilitate shattered lives with his gospel. A truck driver in California saw some TV ads that we've been putting on the air. He didn't have much hope for his marriage, but now he's determined not to become another divorce statistic, but instead, with the power of God's Word, he's going to strive to make that marriage work. A woman in Iowa wrote to our office. Her nephew is addicted to drugs. This woman has gotten hope from our weekly broadcast about the Savior. Now we pray that her nephew can be salvaged by God's power through caring Christian counselors. salvage for a productive life with all the blessings of God. Simply put, the God of the nations does not give up on people. Although an individual may feel discarded like a tin can thrown overboard from a ship, God sent His one and only Son on a mission to seek and save everyone who is lost. Who was Zacchaeus? He was not just a biblical character who climbed a sycamore tree. Zacchaeus was despised by society, but he was sought out and saved by Jesus and then became a productive citizen. Who was Mary Magdalene? She was an emotionally troubled woman whom Jesus healed, and she then followed and helped in His ministry. Who was the woman at the well? She had despised marriage, as many still do today, but Jesus confronted her with her sin and His salvation, and her life changed. Who was the sick man at Bethesda's pool? Who were the lepers? Who was the malefactor crucified at Calvary? All these people were the dregs of society, and every one of them was sought out by the Savior. What about the parable of the lost coin, the parable of the lost sheep, the prodigal son, the good Samaritan? These were stories Jesus told to drive home the truth that God goes to great lengths to save people discarded by society. If a modern nation is sick because its citizens disregard the law and morality, God wants to save those citizens and heal the nations. And don't you put your nose in the air like a modern-day Pharisee. In the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, it was the despised tax collector, not the self-righteous Pharisee, who went home under the favor of God. Every one of us should think of ourselves like those discarded cans that were given new life and use. Even if society hasn't rejected you, even if you're not addicted to drugs or alcohol, even if you're law-abiding, if you are an upright, moral family person, don't be smug. Be humble. You also are a sinner before God, and though your problems may not be evident for all to see, God sees that you daily sin much and indeed deserve nothing but punishment. Every citizen in this nation needs to turn to God in true repentance and trust solely in the forgiveness of sins offered to us in Jesus Christ. When you believe this good news, that God has salvaged you for His highest eternal good, then you've become one of God's people. You've joined Zacchaeus, Mary, the malefactor, and millions of Christians from every nation who count themselves citizens of God's kingdom. God says in 1 Peter 2:10, "Once you were no people, but now you are God's people. Once you had received no mercy, but now you have received mercy." Again, God's word says in Philippians 3:20, "We are citizens of heaven." Understand what that means. When the Holy Spirit calls you by the gospel into God's people, then your first allegiance is not to the United States, not to Canada, not to Mexico, not to any nation. For the true Christian, the first allegiance is to God and the truth of the gospel of Jesus. Then we can pledge allegiance to our own nation. Does that sound subversive? Does that sound disobedient? It's not. It is, in fact, the very best way that you and I, God's people, can help heal the nation we love. Proverbs 11:11 says, "Through the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is destroyed." A story is told about Napoleon when he was leading his army towards Russia. He sent a scout ahead to explore conditions. The scout came to a house and found a mother and her small son. The frightened child prayed in the next room, "God, build a fence around the house so the soldiers can't get us." The scout reported the incident to Napoleon. He roared with laughter. "God, build a fence? No fence could hold back my soldiers." A snowflake struck his nose, another his cheek, and soon a snowstorm developed. God had built a fence of snow to hold back the army. Like that boy whose prayer seems so naive, you and I, knowing our identity as God-saved people, are in an excellent position to help our nation. In Psalm 67, God's people pray for His blessing so that He might bless the nations. Psalm 67 says, "May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make His face shine upon us, that Your ways may be known on earth, Your salvation among all nations." You can help heal the nation you love by letting God's ways be known. God's way is especially the message of the gospel, the good news that God sent His one and only Son to die and rise again for our forgiveness, life, and salvation. But this gospel is appreciated only when we first understand the law of God. God's law, as we find it in the Ten Commandments, commands the good works that we are supposed to do, and it condemns and punishes sin. Now, if you and I want to help heal the nation, we must let God's law, His commandments, be known. Now, God gave His law for three purposes. First, so that our society can maintain external discipline against unruly and disobedient people. Dishonoring parents, murder, adultery, robbery, lying, these things are wrong for Christians and non-Christians alike. For a nation to be healthy, Christians and non-Christians alike need to obey outwardly these commandments. This purpose of the law is not about the faith in a person's heart, but rather this is a gift of God for the benefit of all in society. Last February, I visited the military prison at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, and there I met people who had broken the laws of society and the laws of God. The particular prisoners whom I visited had come to a chapel service. They came to hear, and I shared the message of forgiveness in Jesus Christ. That's the second purpose of God's law, to lead us to know our sin. When we realize that we are sinners, when we know in our hearts that we are like those discarded tin cans ready for the garbage heap, then God comes in and He does what He loves to do the most. God says, "My son, my daughter, be of good cheer. Your sin is forgiven." Now, those prisoners are still in jail, continuing to pay their debt to society. But at the same time, every one of those prisoners who looks to Christ for forgiveness and hope is freed in the sight of God from His divine judgment against their sin. God gave His law for a third purpose, and that's to give His believing people a definite rule according to which they should pattern and regulate their entire life. In other words, when the grateful child of God says, "What do I do now?" God answers and says, "Obey My commandments." If more and more of our fellow citizens understood these purposes of God's law, wouldn't this be a better country? If more and more of us were sharing the law and gospel with others, do you think we'd still be building more prisons? If God's people would let His ways be better known, do you think teens would be taking their lives in such tragic numbers? If more and more of us knew that there are moral absolutes, do you think the number of children born out of wedlock would continue to skyrocket? Do you think that welfare would continue to grow? Do you think that violence would increase? Or would these social cancers decrease as more people knew the law of God and the necessity of our complete dependence upon the Savior? A missionary in another country took his car to the shop to have the brakes repaired. Later, when the missionary picked the car up, he drove off. Suddenly, a man threw himself in front of the moving car. Fortunately, the brakes had now been fixed, and the missionary stopped the car on a dime. "Are you crazy?" the missionary asked. "Are you trying to kill yourself?" "Yes," the man answered. "The government people stole the pension fund. They're corrupt. Now I have nothing. I'm 70. Why didn't you run me over?" That was a man who didn't know the ways of God, a man who lived in a nation that needed healing. That missionary didn't change the whole nation, but he made the right start. He shared God's law and God's great gospel with that one hurting soul. And that's the way the Savior Himself does it. He comes by His word to seek and to save every lost sinner, one by one, including you, including me. You and I, and all who claim a heavenly citizenship, are in an excellent position to help heal the nation we love by sharing God's law and God's great gospel with those around us. Again, from 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message brought to you by Lutheran Hour Ministries.